Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, Joe, again, this is Buck Benny speaking. I am joined with Kathy Fuller Seeley and John Henderson.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy. So we are doing something different today. We are presenting the Bing Crosby Show. This is from 1954. It's from January, the first week in January. I can't remember the exact date. I think it was might have been the 7th, maybe. Anyway, but Kathy is frantically looking, trying to decide what the date is. Yeah, but it's
January 3rd.
January 3rd. There we go. I knew it was first of January. So anyway, we hope you're going to enjoy this. We're trying to present Jack's shows, Jack's appearances, any appearance in television, whether it's on his own show or different shows, somewhat chronologically. Sometimes we miss it by a few weeks, but I try and get it close. Anyway, so here we have, like I say, Jack appearing on the Bing Crosby Show. It's a Bing Crosby special that he's on. And Bing was huge in radio. Bing had a show before Jack had a show. He had a show in 1931 all the way up until 1954. And that's when, of course, this special is from the beginning of 54. And he didn't want to do television. He wanted to just keep on doing radio. It makes complete sense that he would want to keep doing radio because he just, the way he had it set up, he'd introduced, he wanted it to be transcribed and have it recorded each week. So he got from, I believe it was from World War II in Germany and things. He was able to get the Ampex recording technology, and that it would allow him to make really high quality sounding recordings, which they originally said, oh, those don't sound as good as regular live recordings or whatever, but they sound really good. At least now they sound great. Anyway, so he gets that. And then instead of recording one show a week, he starts recording like four shows on a weekend or more. He might be recording four to six somewhere in there. So that allows him to record a whole season within, you know, a month and a half or something. And then he can take the rest of the year off or be in movies and all that kind of stuff. So he's really ahead of his time with all this. But you can't do that in television. Television takes a whole week to kind of prepare a show. And even then, the shows, some of the shows we've seen on live shows back in this time frame don't seem completely like they're really ready. This show, to me, seems kind of dicey in some ways. I mean, it seems pretty professional, but it's like it could have been polished a little bit more, probably. But anyway, let's go over to John and get his kind of thoughts on, do you know much about Bing Crosby? Are you much of, I don't know if you're a Bing Crosby fan or what?
I like Bing Crosby, especially the music, you know, like the records, right?
Yeah.
I got a Best of Bing Crosby from, you know, it's quite a big set. And of course, I often watch Saturday morning cartoons with my children. And whenever there's one of those celebrity cartoons and they've got Bing Crosby, you know, he's on enough that now they recognize Bing Crosby. And of course, they've heard the music. So they always joke, oh, I've got the Bing Crosby eyebrows. And sometimes they'll tape their forehead up so they can do his sort of like worried eyebrows or whatever. So when I was just watching this now, they're like, oh, look, he's doing it. He's doing the Bing Crosby eyebrows. The other thing they asked me is they said, is this young Bing Crosby or old Bing Crosby? And I was like, oh, it's kind of middle Bing Crosby, really.
He's getting to be older by this time. By 54, he's no spring chicken, I can tell you that.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as we're, I mean, he has a number of movies before this. I mean, he has movies, some of his earliest movies, well, probably his movies in the 30s that are one reelers or something. But the ones that the road pictures and things pretty much start in 1940. Right. I think the first one is 1940. So and so they're going on at this time. By this time, I think they've got, I don't know, five road pictures done. They just did the color one, I think maybe the year before this or maybe this year in 1954. And then they wouldn't do another one, the last one, which again goes to black and white, which is kind of a weird thing. But anyway, I think they thought they didn't look as old in black. So they did the last one in black and white. So the last one is like 1962 or something. It's quite a bit later. And they were getting quite a bit older.
Yeah.
That one's always frustrating to me because They used Dorothy L'Amour. I mean, one of them, mm-hmm. and I don't remember which one it was.
I think the second.
Oh, God, I wish I did. No. I'm saying one of either Bob Hope or Bing Crosby refused to do it without Dorothy L'Amour appearing, and so uh-huh. they forced Dorothy L'Amour. Dorothy wanted to appear. They forced the other one to let Dorothy L'Amour be in there, because what they did was they grabbed Joan Collins to be a younger Dorothy L'Amour, to be that character, because they thought they couldn't make themselves more youthful, but maybe they could bring in a youthful woman and have this work, right? So anyway, so she's in there, she does okay. I mean, I like Joan Collins just fine and everything. It's just I love Dorothy L'Amour, and Dorothy L'Amour comes in for her 10 minutes, and her 10 minutes in the show are the best 10 minutes in the whole movie. I'm sure when they were filming it, they're like, oh my gosh, what did we do? We should have grabbed her, because this is, the spark is there between the three of them. It just works. And yet she's in there very little, and then she's gone. She's got a few scenes with him. So go ahead.
Yeah, the road pictures were sort of, in some ways, my introduction to sort of classic anything. I remember one time my father brought home from the video store Road to Morocco, and he's talking it up like crazy. He's like, this is one of the funniest movies you'll ever watch. I watched it when I was a little. You'll love it. We put it on. We all watched it, and I'm really trying to, like, you know, get into it, understand, you know, I'm sort of drifting off a little bit, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, the movie would be right. And when we finish, my dad turns to everyone and says, that wasn't as good as I remember. But he had already talked it up so much that I sort of became intrigued. And, you know, 6 months later, I rented The Road to Zanzibar and thing, you know, the similar old movies, you know. So that was one of my first introductions. I didn't really get into it at that point. But at that point, you know, I knew what a road picture was and who Bing Crosby and Bob Hope were. So, yeah.
Well, it's so funny because for me with road pictures, my mom loved Bing Crosby. She really loved his shows. She liked Bob Hope, didn't love Bob Hope, but loved Bing Crosby. But as for the road pictures, I'd go, oh, there's a road picture on, and I'd try to have mom watch it, and she would be like, oh, I don't like those. So she did not like the road pictures for some reason, so it left me kind of going, oh, well, maybe they're not very good. And then I watched them as I got older, and I was like, no, I like these. I like these better than a lot of other things that Bing's in or Bob's in. So I enjoy the road pictures. And now that I'm a huge, ridiculous Bing Crosby fan, I just love the road pictures. And that's so funny for me is that I love Bing Crosby. I love his character he creates. I love this light going, smooth talking, just totally. he's so good, and he's so calming. And for me, when I'm tense or whatever, if I have listened to a Bing Crosby show, it just calms me right down. I just love his show. But having said that, I'm not big on his, I'm the opposite of John. I'm not into his records other than his Christmas records. I'm really into, I've tried to expose myself to regular Bing. I don't usually like the songs he picks and so forth. I like it when he sings other people's songs. And so that's what I like the radio show so much, because he says, oh, here's a popular song by so-and-so, usually on Decca, which is his brand, his label too. And then he'll sing their song and I'll be like, oh, I really like his version almost better than their version in a lot of cases. I love his duets. I love when he sings with, Judy Garland, it is wonderful. It is just such, she was on his show so many times. I just love it when she appears with him. I love it when he sings with Ella Fitzgerald, and I love it when he sings with so many people. I love his duet with Jimmy Stewart.
Well, he's done so much music that maybe you're just missing the good ones. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe, but I try to like song to, number like, five, the essential, like, Bing Crosby. And all
but you know, things. He's got some really great hits.
Okay.
I found a $1 million baby in a 5 and 10 cent store. Doesn't get better than that. And his ones where he partners with the Andrews sisters, like Pistol Pack and Mama, those are the greatest.
All his work with the Andrews sisters, I do love that. I love the stupid song. I love the Black Ball Fairy Line song that he recorded. And every time we go on the ferries up here, if you go on the Black Ball Fairy Line up here in the Northwest, they play that song at the beginning of every trip, at the end of every trip, the whole song. And so it's really lovely to all of a sudden hear Bing Crosby and realize all these people are hearing Bing Crosby that don't necessarily even know who the guy is, but it's nice. I just, with Bing, the family things that you can read and the books of other people, the things that they'll say about him are just so negative. In some ways, he reminds me of Mary Livingston, where I love her character. I love who she plays. I have no idea about her personal life, whether she, and I kind of don't want to judge that. And I just kind of go, you know what? I'm going to enjoy for what they presented. And what he presented was this wonderful persona of, you know, the dad you would want, the kind of a person you would like in your life and all of that. But then when people say things like, people are quoted as saying things like, he's the meanest man I've met in my entire life. You're like, okay, he had to do something just vicious or say something. I don't understand. But, and some of the really negative stuff is from his own kids. So I don't know. I will say it's a little weird that he was married, had a wife, she died. Then he sort of, and the kids were a big part of his life at that point and before, and they would be on his radio show and all these things. And then all of a sudden he didn't like appear anywhere with his kids anymore, and then got another wife and had another family, and never really referred to, as far as I know, his original kids. And that would feel really weird. So I mean, there were some weird things, but
there are some things just being in show business and with Jack Benny too, and even in this episode, where at the end, you know, Bing Crosby does a bit where this stranger kisses him and things that you wouldn't, you know, if he's supposed to be this family man, kind of like, at least Jack is pretending to be single all the time, you know?
Yeah, true enough. Well, let's go over to Kathy for a minute. So Kathy, what were your thoughts on the show, or what did you think?
The appeal of Bing Crosby is just kind of lost on me. So, but I so appreciate learning what you all love about him. What I loved about this show was the scenes at early Television City. I was envious of the curtain of the big eye CBS eye curtain that Bing got to appear before, and it's like, I wish Jack had the, I would like Jack to stand before the eye curtain. And I loved Jack and Cherie or Sherry North appearing at the entrance to CBS Television City and things like that. I love that the show has many layers of things to be interested in. And indeed, from January 1954, what Variety wanted to talk about with the show was indeed Cherie North's dance, the sort of stripping off her, quickly shedding her dress, and that sort of wild dance that she did. The sponsor, General Electric, really wanted to remove it and censor it out. And Bing stood his ground and said, no, it's not, there's nothing unacceptable about it. It's just a very enthusiastic dance. And he insisted that it remain in there. But as I said, he had a lot of talking to do to the GE folks to get them to calm down about it. So
he should have talked to the folks when Elvis came on and they wouldn't shoot him from the hips down. I mean, he didn't do anything you weren't supposed to do, but it was just enthusiastic dancing. But they definitely had issues with that. So
that's right. Well, so the review of this particular show was very complimentary to Jack's segment. If you don't mind me quickly reading,
please. Oh, go ahead. That's great.
Jack Benny's guesting along with Cherie North, a bosomy blonde clad in clinging jersey, was a riotous romp with the laughs rolling in waves. Benny tried to unsell Bing on TV, working on his nerves to unsteady him, but to no avail. The fright gripped Benny instead, and he leaped on Bing's shoulders like a femme frightened by a mouse. It was amiable repartee that passed between them, Bing remarking about Benny's coziness with a buck, how he took his lunch to Coconut Grove and was ordered out. Shot back, Benny, I can remember when you were thrown out of the Grove for another reason. That was strictly a trade gag. The North dance specialty created somewhat of a crisis, but it gave the show a zippy pickup. And says, I did a little research on Cherie North, and Fox Film Studio was trying to set her up to be a Marilyn Monroe replacement, but she didn't quite get very many places. I love their line, though. This is such variety writing. She's the perfect foil for a flip-lipped comic, and worked the scene with Benny to most of the hilarious highs. Morrow's production and Freddie DeCordova's direction were stellar. And I also love that aspect of learning that, oh, here's Bill Morrow after all yes. those years. He'd been gone from the Benny Show since 1943, here to find what you've told me, Daryl, that Bill Morrow had a long relationship writing for Bing Crosby.
About a decade, how nice. Yeah.
To get this small world.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. And to have Bill Morrow writing for Jack again is so much fun. And yeah. I think that's fantastic. And for folks that aren't following or aren't, you know, don't listen to us a lot or whatever, Bill Morrow was the writer for Jack Benny for many years. A lot of folks will say it was when Jack was really reaching his initial peak or whatever back in 19. He started with Jack in the end of 35.
36 to yeah. 43.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was one of only two writers. Mm-hmm. So he was doing half of the script.
Yeah. Ed Beloine was the other half. Bill Morrow for Bing Crosby worked on the Bing Crosby Show from about 1944-ish, maybe 45, but anyway, all the way up until the end of his run in 1954. And then, of course, he writes this special. He wrote with, he did have a partner again in Murdo McKenzie. I'm not sure if Murdo McKenzie was writing on this particular special or not. I would assume he was because he was like the, I think.
He wasn't credited.
He wasn't credited? Okay. Because he was the, for the show and most of the run, he was, I think, listed as the head writer. And then Bill Morrow was his support. But you can definitely tell because Murdo was with Bing before this. And then right when Bill Morrow starts, I can definitely tell the difference. The writing becomes more crisp and it just is slick. I love Bill Morrow's writing. So
yeah, really I thought the monologue was fine. It wasn't great. But the thing that I think really he excels at is these like funny ideas and the interplay and mm-hmm. things like the idea that Bing Crosby, this like totally relaxed guy who everybody knows is just chilling out, is and Jack says, oh, he's so nervous, yeah. You know, like that whole idea is just hilarious.
Yes. And I would say, you know, I don't usually pump up my shows or whatever, but. I will say, man, if you want some weekly enjoyment from Bing Crosby, I present Bing on both my Judy Garland and Friends podcast. We're presenting the 1952 season, and that's a really fun season to listen to him on, and he's got some great guests. If you want to listen to he and Jack, he's on my Jack Benny podcast, and on that, every Monday I play Bing Crosby, and it's Bing Crosby plus the Jimmy Durante show plus the Al Jolson show with Oscar Levant, and I play them all back to back and introduce them all, and then they're all from 1947. They're all from the same week in 47, so they're exactly 75 years ago, right, I think this year, and man, they're all in their top form. It is so much fun to listen to all of them. The Oscar Levant and Jolson dialogue back and forth is so much fun.
Oh yeah,
They're really good. And Jolson's piano playing is so excellent. And then on Bing's show, every week you're either going to get an entertainer that is so funny and he sings with them and does duets and everything, or you're going to get a singer that just does a phenomenal job. Judy Garland appears with him multiple times. The Ella Fitzgerald appears with him. He didn't care whether you were black or white or anything. If you could sing and perform well, he would have you on with him. And Les Paul appears a lot with Bing, both as the Les Paul Trio and with Mary Ford when she starts singing with Les Paul. And their music they produce is just insanely good. It's crazy to hear they like double track, triple track. I mean, like they'll have 10 guitar parts and 10 vocal parts all recorded on top of each other. And it's fun, the one they do with Bing, because they have Bing do, and they'll say, okay, Bing, we're going to do three parts for you. You'll be doing three parts, and Mary will do her usual 12, and I'll be doing 18 on the guitar. And it's just, you know, and because it was a recorded show, they could do that. And so you get this really different sounding songs that he does with them. So anyway, a lot of good stuff to listen to.
Yeah. When you listen to a show like that, it doesn't blow you away like I think the Jack Benny show does, but it is fun and sort of comforting if you don't want any pressure. But when you listen to a show like that, you think this is something that would only work on radio, because mm-hmm. you got these people popping in, and then you've got music. So it's really interesting to see how they translated that to television, right?
Yes.
Even the idea of like the curtain and, you know, and then pulling it back and doing the musical numbers and this, you know, they're doing the same songs, but they're like elaborate musical numbers, like with that first one, Y'all Come or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
And they throw in dance elements into it and things, because that's what you have to do. You need the visual somehow. And so it makes it this new thing. I don't know if this would have worked on a weekly basis or not. I don't know. But
a lot of work.
But I also think it's interesting that then I think he may have literally been tired. It seems like he did the whole thing back to back. I mean, unless they're really good at editing, which they weren't at that time.
Yeah.
But then he comes in front of the curtain and he leans on the piano and makes a comment about that. And this sings the slow song. It was really interesting to see, you know, this radio thing. You could close your eyes and it would be quite similar to the radio show,
yes.
other than the dance you're going to miss out on. But yeah.
Well, the sad part, or the good part, depending on how you look at it, is this performance you're going to see, the picture's pretty decent. The sound quality is not great. The sound quality is pretty dicey, especially my level of expectation for Bing Crosby presentation now is so high, because that's the thing. I mean, a set of Bing Crosby shows that ran that final 10 years were found that are just absolutely immaculate. I wish Jack's shows were this high sound quality. I mean, they're just perfect. And so you feel like you're in the room with Bing and the performers. So this show, audio wise, is not great. And so if you really want to experience great audio, then listen to him on my podcast, because I think you'll really enjoy it. Anyway, great show. And John, what else? You probably have something you noticed in the show too.
Wanted to mention, because we haven't talked too much about Jack, who's my favorite.
We have not. And this is Jack's show.
Stuff, which is great. But he does something that is unusual, which I thought was surprisingly good, which was his jump that they mentioned in Variety.
Yeah.
He jumps onto Bing Crosby's back. Now, usually Jack Benny is not really a physical performer, but
right.
I thought he did this really well and it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's lucky it was in 1954 and not 1964. So that's, I think we were at the end of Jack's jumping phase. So this is, they asked him to do a lot here. So, he did a great job with that. And his performance here Jack brings a quality to any show he's on. I have yet to see him appear on a show enough for us to say, oh, that was a lousy performance by Jack. I mean, he just does a really nice job. I don't know if Jack, when he appeared on other people's shows, was like Bob Hope. Bob Hope would bring in his own writers and punch it up or change it or whatever the bit to make the bit better. I don't think Jack did that. I think he just let other people write for him and things. I think it's because his character is so well established that people could do that. In this case, it's easy. In this case, it's Bill Morrow writing for him, who wrote for him for a decade. So it wouldn't be a big step for Bill Morrow to redo that. Certainly, anytime Jack appeared on Bing's radio show, it would always be written by Morrow. And it would be, you get some of the freshest, funnest Jack that you would ever get. And I loved it when he appeared. One time, I think only once, he appeared with Mary on Bing's show. And that episode is just fantastic to hear Bill writing for Mary again and writing for Jack and writing for Bing, and just their dialogue is so much fun. So yeah, anyway, so, and I think they might even in that one acknowledge that they're married. I think they might say that Mary's his wife and so forth. I can't remember. They certainly did that once on Fred Allen's show where they pull back the curtain and show them as husband and wife, and that's kind of cool. But anyway, great show, fun to watch. Jack's parts are good. The Bing is fun to see what he does on this earliest television show that he has. I think it's his first appearance in television. He might have appeared on someone else's show.
No, they say this is his first own TV shows.
Yeah. So that's great. Anyway, I guess we'll let him enjoy that unless anybody has anything else to add. We good? All right. Enjoy the show. Come over and enjoy the shows on my podcast. The only reason I'm pushing this so hard with this is just, I love them so much. They are so unique. So there's been nothing ever like it. There probably will be nothing ever like it again. And just to all of a sudden have the caliber of performers he will have on with him, and to hear them doing a song, a version of songs that you'll never hear, they'll never be put on record, they'll never, you know, except for now. I mean, sometimes they'll release a record of Bing Crosby that is culled from his radio shows, like a Bing Crosby duets album or that sort of thing. And those are certainly worth having because they're great performances. But to hear the dialogue, to hear the, I was joking earlier that I love when he appears. He has Jimmy Stewart on his show many, many times. And Jimmy Stewart actually has an arc on the show, which is unique. I mean, you don't have arcs with guests usually, but he first appears on the show when he's single and he's not married, and they joke about him dating and make him feel uncomfortable with the whole dating process and everything, and it's so funny. Then he gets married, and so they joke about that and put him in buying lingerie for his wife and things and make him in uncomfortable situations where he can't talk to the ladies about it, and says he's buying it for Bing because he's embarrassed to buy it for his wife and things, so it's crazy. And then he has kids. And then they joke about having kids and what it's like having little kids around the house and so forth. So they have this whole thing they follow him on, because they're his appearances on Bing's show are at this point in his life where his life is changing. Every time he appears, his life is a little different than it was before. And it's just so much fun to hear that arc and to have it be so funny. And at one point he sings, they sing the, what's the song that the Christmas song that Phil Harris and Alice Faye sing together? And certainly it's well known of the
Jingle Bells.
No. Maybe It's Cold Outside.
Oh, yes.
Maybe It's Cold Outside. And so Bing and Jimmy Stewart do Maybe It's Cold Outside together. And it's so funny with them. See, it's cold outside. Oh no, you can stay a little longer. You know, it's just that whole. It's a good bit. Anyway, so if you
want to find Buck's podcast, you can type in Jack Benny and OTR podcast. But it also works if you just type in Buck Benny.
Yes. Yep. And if you want to find Judy Garland, if you type in Judy Garland podcast, I think there's only one Judy Garland podcast, which is sad. Yeah. She deserves more than that, but. And on that one, just so you know, we're playing Bing once a week, but we also play of course, Judy Garland once a week. We go through all of her surviving radio performances chronologically. And we actually just started the rotation again. So we've just had her third or fourth appearance. So a fun thing to listen to. And that's introduced not by me, but by a friend of mine named Mindy. And Mindy does such a beautiful job. She researches every episode. She's always got things to say. She's way better than I am in my intro. So definitely worth a listen over there. So take a shot at that and listen to that. And while you're listening to podcasts, maybe you want to tune into John's podcast, This Day in Jack Benny, which is the best imitation of my podcast that there is. So it almost goes up to the original standards. I don't know. How many years have you done that now, John? John, did you? I didn't hear you. Oh, wow.
2016.
Okay.
Since 2016.
Yeah. So you did it. It sounds like you did it right around my 10th anniversary of me doing my show. So that's really good. That was good. He'd listened to my show for 10 years. It was like, you know, this is, I could do this so much better than Buck Benny does. So I think I'll create my own show. So he did, and it is phenomenal. So yeah, I gotta say, he does a brilliant job. And I love pointing how John points out all the little things that are in the commercials or the little references they make that you might not get otherwise. And he explains those and does a nice job. His intros are usually about 5 minutes long. I think the problem why folks sometimes complain about mine is my intros sometimes are 25 hours long, or I don't know.
They get a little long-winded.
Speaking of that, we should probably go. So enjoy the episode, and we'll see you guys next time.
You can put your confidence in General Electric.
General Electric presents The Bing Crosby Show with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Bing's special guest, Jack Benny, and introducing Miss Sherry North. Now, here's Bing.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen and viewers. So, here I am. That isn't an opening for somebody to say, so what? I've never seen one. Really, I welcome this chance to get back in touch with the public again. I've been wondering where everybody went. Finally discovered they were all hiding in the living room with the lights turned out. But actually, the reason I haven't been on TV sooner, I've been waiting for color. General Electric finally came up with the little green, so I grabbed it. I'm kidding, folks. It wasn't just the money. To be completely candid, the reason I didn't go on sooner is because nobody asked me. I did have one offer, yes. It was rather a nice offer, too. I could have gone on the Voice of Firestone program. I didn't even have to sing, either. They wanted me to change a tire during the commercial. Everybody's been very nice about my debut on this medium. I've gotten telegrams and I got flowers and fruit, candy, poison pen notes. I got a few threats. Rosemary Clooney was very kind. She sent me a lovely floral horseshoe. Beautiful thing. I thought it'd be nice if I wore it on my entrance, sort of draped around my neck, but the director of this piece, Mr. DeCordova, was a little difficult with it. He was quite obstinate. He thought it would look too much like some kind of a float left over from the Rose Bowl parade. So, but it's a real serious business, TV. You got to remember so many lines and everything. You got to know where to stand. And to prepare myself, I've been taking a memory course from a very famous course here in Los Angeles. The man who runs it is known the world over. He's very good, very capable, and very thorough. I'd like to give him a plug, but can't think of his name just now. Well, no matter. But you do have to pay attention. You have to work real hard, and you have to know your lines, where to stand, and you're fighting all the time, fighting the camera. You ever notice Hope on the TV? You ever notice the expression on his face? Looks like a stricken steer. can't figure out whether he's trying to remember his lines or whether he's trying to forget them. Oh, Bob, you can flip the dial now because go back, look at your scrapbook or something. That's all we're going to say about you tonight. This here is my wardrobe for the opening selection in the show. It happens to be a little number that I recorded for Decca not too long ago, a song called You All Come. And this happy little number reflects the warm glow of friendship and hospitality that prevails whenever friends and families and groups, whenever they get together throughout our fair land.
Come and get it.
Y'all come.
Come and set a spell, friend.
Y'all come to see us when you can.
When you live in the country, everybody is your neighbor. On this one thing you can rely. They all come to see you, and they never leave you, saying, y'all come to see us by and by. Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Oh, y'all come to see us now and then. Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come,
y'all come,
oh, y'all come to see us now and then. Ah, the kinfolks are a-coming, they're a-coming by the dozen, eating everything from soup to hay. Hide the rooster. And right after dinner, they ain't looking any thinner. And here's what you hear them say.
Y'all come.
That spring's open.
Y'all come.
And the cider's making.
Oh, y'all come to see us when you can.
We're fixing to kick back the rug.
Y'all come.
Bring your fiddle.
Y'all come.
I need some rosin, too.
Oh, y'all come to see us now and then.
Grandma's a-wishing that they'd come out to the kitchen and help to do the dishes right away. But they all start a-leaving, even though she's a-grieving. But you can still hear Grandma say,
y'all come.
The land of Goshen, dead nabbits.
Oh, y'all come, see us when you can.
Bring the young uns, you hear me?
Y'all
we'll tie the dog up.
Then
go put the cat out, too.
Oh, y'all come, see us now and then.
Y'all come,
y'all come,
y'all come,
y'all come.
Oh, y'all come to see us now and then.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So that can give you an idea of what goes on out to Andy Devine's house practically every weekend. Always have a big hoedown out to old Gravel Throat's house. Of course, they eat pretty good out there, too. Here's an oldie of happy memory. I'm going to be assisted by Mr. Buddy Cole here. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'll sort of, I'll sing this from a leaning posture. All that dancing back there, that's a little rugged for an old gaffer like me.
It had to be you. Yes, it had to be you. I wandered around, and I finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me feel blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gives me that thrill. You got your faults, but I love you still. It had to be you, had to be you, wonderful you. Yes, it had to be you. It had to be you.
could make me be true, could make me feel blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they ain't gonna do for nobody else. Gives me that thrill. You've got your faults, but I love you still. It had to be you, had to be you. Wonderful you.
Friends, this is Television City in Hollywood, where many of your favorite shows originate. This is the main lobby. Here's a group of visitors being shown around the studios.
Why are you always lagging behind?
Didn't you invite me on a tour of this building?
Yes, but you don't have to stop and gawk at every actor, you see.
So how did I meet you?
Now, come on, I'll take you to see Bing Crosby.
Solid. Incidentally, Jack, thanks for buying me Bing's new record.
Well, I'm always glad to help Bing out.
Out of where?
Now, look, don't tell anybody I told you. See, this is just between you and me. But, Bing doesn't sell like he used to.
He sells me.
All right, come on, we'll go backstage.
Backstage? We won't get thrown out, will we?
Crystal, when were you ever thrown out of any place with me?
The night you took me to the Macambo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was dancing a little too close.
What a night.
There'll be others.
Wait a minute. Are you sure we're not going to be in the way?
In the way? Crystal, do you know who you're with?
I'm with the phone company.
I don't mean that. I mean this. I'm one of Bing's best friends. And this is his first show, his opening night. And he's probably a nervous wreck. Now, you know how jittery Crosby is.
Bing Crosby jittery?
Oh, certainly. That nonchalance is just an act.
No kidding.
Look, there's nobody in the world as nervous as Bing Crosby. And he needs a fellow like me to calm him down. And look, when I introduce you to him, don't just stand there and gawk at him. You know, and make eyes at him. Just say hello and ignore him.
If I had control like that, I could pitch for the Yankees.
The keynote of GE is progress is our most important product.
Well, kid, how are things going?
Pretty good. Everything's going along fine, I think, Jack.
Bing, you gotta grab a hold of yourself. I mean, don't worry, everything will turn out all right. I mean, you'll get to like TV.
Well, Doc, I think it's wonderful, Jack. I love it.
Bing, believe me, I know what I'm doing. Television is entirely different than radio or pictures.
Well, I know that. I have a set at the house.
But do you watch it?
Watch it? Whew. Like a Hindu flute player watches a cobra.
Then you must know what an exacting medium television is.
Sure.
Bing, it takes hours and hours of grueling hard work to become good on television. No, this isn't like singing at the Coconut Grove.
Grove.
There, you see how nervous you are?
Oh, You're going back a little with that, aren't you? Say, you remember the night that you and a large party got thrown right out of the coconut grove because you brought a basket of food and you spread it out under the palm tree?
Bing, where I come from, a grove is a grove and it's a place to have picnics. And anyway, I don't feel any guiltier than you. You know, I remember when you were thrown out of the grove. And it was a different kind of a picnic.
There, Jack. You win.
Well, Bing, I don't feel that I've won this battle of wits fairly. Because after all, this is your opening night. You're on edge. You're nervous. You're a wreck.
I feel all right, Jack. I'm not.
But you're working under a handicap. I mean, you're working with a mental block.
Well, it's the same old block I always work with.
I mean, now, believe me, I've been through this. I know what must be in your mind. I mean, snap out of it.
No, I'm only having fun.
Bing, look, you think you're having fun. And you know why? Because you're so nervous. Yikes!
First comic I've carried since Hope. You're doing better this season.
Did you have to sneak in on me like that?
I'm sorry.
Anyway, look, you know I'm a bundle of nerves. This is Bing's first show.
How about an intro?
Oh, yeah. Bing, this is my latest flame. Crystal, I want you to meet Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby, this is Crystal Fogg. Look, you're not being presented at court. I mean, you don't have to curtsy.
Who curtsied? My knees got weak, that's all. Mr. Crosby, yeah? I've got your new record, Changing Partners, and You All Come.
Oh, thank you, Crystal.
Well, as long as you're taking bows on the record, tell them who bought it.
He did.
Darn right I did.
Well, thank you, Jack. Thanks for buying the record.
Jack says you don't sell like you used to.
I didn't. Well, Bing, we've got to run along now. We just came up to cheer you up, that's all.
Very sweet. Great day.
Okay,
thank you.
Well, come on, Crystal, let's go.
Wait a minute, get him to autograph my record.
Oh, all right. Man, I'm broke.
We'll break a lot of them, Jack. It's good for business.
Honey, I'm terribly sorry about the record, but then Bing will see that you get a new one. Won't you, Bing?
Oh, I don't know, Jack. It'd be pretty hammy for a fellow to go out and buy his own record.
It would? Oh. Well, suppose I go out and buy it, and then you could reimburse me.
That'd be sneaky.
What?
Anyway, I've had a very bad season, Jack.
Oh, yeah? I'd like to have your money.
I wish you had it. It'd be safer with you.
You said it. Well, Bing, getting back to this record, you see, I consider it an accident. Now, you have insurance, haven't you?
Oh, yes, but I don't know if I'm covered against you.
Well, you must be. Everybody out here is. And anyway, Bing, if you're too cheap to go out and buy a record, the least you could do would be to sing the two songs for Crystal.
Well, I already sang one of them. I sang You All Come.
Well, then sing the other side.
Yes, Changing Partners. It's real deep.
That means funny. Go ahead. Sing it.
Okay.
Come on, Crystal. What women see in singers, I'll never know.
Special request, ladies and gentlemen, for Miss Crystal Fogg and for her companion, the Diamond Jim Brady of Waukegan, Illinois. Memories of the Dreamland Ballroom.
We were waltzing together to a dreamy melody when they called us, change partners, and you waltzed away from me. Now my arms feel so empty as I gaze around the floor, and I'll keep on changing partners till I hold you once more. Though we danced for one moment, and too soon we had to part in that wonderful moment. Something happened to my heart, so I'll keep changing partners till you're in my arms, and then, oh my darling, I will never change partners again. Oh my darling, we will never change
Jack. That's the greatest.
Thank you, Crystal. You know, if I'd have been thinking at all, I'd ask you to dance with me.
Well, Jack and I like something with a swinging beat to it.
Oh, so do I.
I'll show you what I mean.
Watch it, Crystal.
Mr. Trotter, a little music with a message, if you please.
Say, what does this girl do?
Well, it's a sort of a modern minuet.
Hope we get a couple of good seats in the wagon. Ladies and gentlemen,
you were wonderful, just wonderful, Crystal.
You can stop calling me Crystal now. The bit's over.
Oh, yeah. Sherry North, your stage name. Well, so long, Bing.
So long, Jack. Thanks very much. Say, pick up Sherry's skirt and muff before you leave, huh?
I'll pick up her check, too.
Come on, my great big blue-eyed agent.
To be 39 again. Weren't they delightful guests, though, folks? I loved having them here. We've got to progress along musically now, though, and it's with one of John Scott Trotter's arrangements of a Cole Porter song. Now, this number involves a little bit of production. So before you can say, I love Paris, that's where we're going to be. In fancy, that is. Every moment
because my love is near.
If this is television, I hope it's permanent.
Television? I was just taking a shortcut through here on my way to Warbeck.
Oh, you're a model there?
Uh-huh. We're doing a fashion show there tonight.
I see.
Well, it's been fun.
Yes, hasn't it? So that's about it for tonight, folks. I certainly hope we can all get together again real soon. Let's see, did she say Orbach's? I wonder what floor. Thanks again, folks, and good night.
In the home, on the farm, in the factory, on sea, in the air, on land, progress is our most important product.
Harris model was Barbara Logan. Also on the program were the Cass County Boys and Judd Conlon's Rhythm Airs. Jack Benny appeared through the courtesy of Lucky Strike Cigarettes. This is Ken Carpenter speaking. This is the CBS Television Network.